It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 290, entitled, Howdy, How's It, Hello? It was recorded on Monday the 18th of March 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley and I'll be joined by three fabulous guests. Today, my co-host is Michelle Frechette and the guests are Cami McNamara and Tim Nash. It's a WordPress podcast, so, you know, we talk about WordPress. We get into all of the bits and pieces in the 6.5 update, which is coming fairly soon. What do our panelists and co-hosts enjoy? There's quite a lot of events. There is the WP Engine Decode event coming up. Plus, we get into a lot of events happening in the UK. The return of some events to live and in person after the lull of the pandemic. There's also talk about WordCamp Asia and where that is, as well as where State of the Word is going to be held at the end of this year. There's an article by Leslie Sim all about the oxygen mask approach to open source. It's an interesting position on how much time you should give over to open source projects and how forgiving you should be of yourself when you cannot contribute time. WP Cloud is a hosting environment which WordPress.com is organizing, and it looks like Bluehost have jumped on board and are offering something to the community, which they claim will be really reliable and hopefully affordable. We also get into the Scale Consortium. We talk about democratizing publishing in WordPress and also about the fact that Automattic seem to be doubling down on developer content. Finally, we get into a few bits and pieces that the guests have contributed, and it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Weglot. Weglot, the easiest way to translate your WordPress website. The Weglot translation plugin gives you a reliable and easy way to make your WordPress website multilingual in minutes. No coding required and no developer time needed. Find out more at weglot.com. Hello, 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 hello. Hi there. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Oh, thank you. I got a wave from everybody on the panel today. That was nice. That was
awesome. You said hello three times.
So. Yeah, it's great. Oh, I see. Do you know why I do that? I do that because the audio takes about 5 seconds to just normalize. So that is my attempt to waste a bit of time to organize it. Anyway, there we go. We're on episode number 290. This Week in WordPress. We had a bit of a hiatus last week. We took some time off because I was away. And maybe we'll hear about that in a moment. Michelle and I could certainly chat about that probably for the whole 90 minutes.
Just about the food alone.
Yeah, just the food. Oh, yeah. It was pretty amazing. That was Michelle Frechette. Michelle Frechette is the co-host of this show. She comes on so frequently, along with some other guests, that she's been designated co-host for the longest time. I keep calling her a guest. I have to properly manage myself and introduce Michelle as a co-host. How are you doing, Michelle?
I am much better this week. Thank you. How are you?
I am good. You have been poorly, by all accounts. You've just come out of the back of something.
So not COVID, but... yeah, still not good.
Okay. Well, I'm very, very pleased that you've joined us today. I'm going to do the bio for each of our three guests. Michelle Frechette is the Director of Community Engagement for Stella WP at Liquid Web. In addition to the work there, Michelle is the podcast barista at WPCoffeeTalk.com, co-founder of UnderrepresentedInTech.com, a creator of WP Career Pages, the president of the board for BigOrangeHeart.org, Director of Community Relations and Is this still true?
You have my old bio.
I have your old bio. Well, what are you now? You're the executive director
of PostStatus, yes.
Of PostStatus. So I'll just upend that. So there we go. The old version was that. The new version is executive director at poststatus.com. Bravo. Author, business coach, and frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress events. She lives outside of Rochester, New York, where she takes nature photography. And you can find out more on her personal website, which is meetmichelle.online. Right. Thank you, Michelle, for joining us. I really appreciate it. I hope you managed to get through it and that you're well enough. There is Cammy. It's like 4 in the morning for Cammy, or yeah. Like that.
No, it's 7. It's not that bad. So
that's pretty bad. Yeah. If you were to encounter me at 7 in the morning, nothing would be possible. But Cammy's joining us. I don't know. This has got to be like the half dozen times or something. You've certainly been on plenty of times before, and I appreciate your return. Cammy McNamara, find it that hard to say, a.k.a. Web Cammy. Very cool. Yeah. I love
easy,
that.
Easy
to remember. Has been designing websites in Seattle since 2002. In addition to running her business, she moderates the Web Cammy Cafe Facebook group for web designers, has a weekly podcast, Web Cammy Podcast, of course, and is the author of a weekly newsletter focused on good habit for web designers, which I think is what we're going to talk about later.
Yes.
As well. That's the same one. Okay. So we'll wait. We'll hold back the URL. But it's got something to do with habits.
Yeah.
Habits. WP. We'll find out more. And of course, we're joined by the fabulous Tim Nash. Not far from me. I could probably throw a rock and it wouldn't get anywhere near him. But, you know, I could still throw a rock. certainly closer than Web Cammy and Michelle. Where are you? You're Yorkshire, West Yorkshire, right?
You're North Yorkshire, Yorkshire Dales.
You really? I didn't realise that. I'm also in North Yorkshire. So North Yorkshire
is a very, for anybody who's not in the UK, we're talking about very small places.
Yet in the UK, it's the biggest of all the places, at least in England. Anyway, there's Tim. That's Tim Nash. He is a professional Doom speaker. I love this. WordPress security and a WordPress security consultant. He was once described as not as scary as I thought you were. Still pretty scary, though. He helps organize and improve the security of people's websites through site and code reviews. He's also got workshop, which we'll talk about later as well. You can find out more about him and subscribe to his, according to one Nathan Wrigley, all right newsletter. Did I really say that? I'm so sorry. That's really bad. But you can find it at timnash.co.uk. And it's all right.
Tim Nash, declared mediocre by Nathan Wrigley.
That's right. It's reasonable. There are some words in there, you know. I apologize. That was...
I write my bio for me because it's more delightful.
At the workshop that Tim's doing. If a comment comes in from Twitch, it's usually junk. As is that particular comment, but there's no way for me to avoid it. I don't know if you can see that on your screens, but it's, you know, there's something weird in mine. So let's do the sensible comments. We always get a comment from Peter Ingersoll. He joins us every week to give us the lowdown on the weather in Connecticut, and this week is no different. He says, good morning. It's 6 degrees centigrade, 43 degrees Fahrenheit under partly sunny skies. I think we've got it better than you. I think it's about 14 degrees centigrade. There are breaks in the cloud. So there we go. Connecticut versus North Yorkshire. And Babs joining us says, good afternoon from a cloudy Ely in the UK. Barbara, how are you? Nice to have you with us. Few bits of housekeeping then, I guess. The first thing to say is this show is so much better when there are people that participate, you know, like Barbara and like Peter did. It really does sort of drive the conversation forward. I really like it. And the best way to make that happen probably is to go to this URL, wpbuilds.com/live. That is an embedded YouTube chat, so you have to be logged into Google. That's probably the easiest way. I imagine a lot of people have Google accounts. The other alternative, though, is if you actually go to that page and look at the video, in the top right is a little black button. I believe it says live chat. You can invoke that, and you don't need to be logged into anything. You just type in your name and you're off to the races. So if you don't fancy coming to us from Google, that's fine. You can do it that way. The other way is Facebook. If you're in a Facebook property and you see this video, you can do that as well. But there is one little caveat. You have to go to wave.video.lives/lives/Facebook. Otherwise, you come through all anonymous. Okay, there you go. And some blatant advertising. No, it's not. It's not. That's not a live comment. That's something that I did. That's hysterical. There was a comment that I wrote for myself when I last did something with Peach and Neri. It was at the URL for her course. And I thought that she just dropped in and just put the URL for her course in, whereas in fact, it was me. Elliot Richmond joining us from not Richmond. He's joining us from Cheltenham. Thank you very much indeed. Right, that's it. That's all the housekeeping.
Nathan, What is Peach's course? You haven't put the URL up.
Shall I do it quickly while she's not here?
Okay, let's do it. Half sold it for her.
Let's do it. Well, I don't even know if it, maybe it's over, but here it is. Look, the accessible typography masterclass. If you use the code WPBuild, you get something off and you go to peachandery.thrivecart.com/ATM. So thanks, Tim. We've just driven a little bit of traffic her way, I hope. Okie dokie. Right, let's put the screen on and I'll do a tiny bit of self-promotion. I hope that's all right. This is our website. We have a new sponsor. I love it when we get a new sponsor. It's fabulous. It really does help keep the podcast going. You can imagine something like podcasting and what have you is often, I think, reliant on sponsorship. And so we've been lucky enough to have GoDaddy Pro as one of our sponsors for the longest time. I think we're over the 2-year mark anyway. So appreciate everything that they've done for us in that time. But I'm happy to add Weglot into that as well. So Weglot will be sponsoring us for the next few weeks. And so, you know, head over to GoDaddy Pro, Google that, or Google Weglot. Weglot obviously do translations. And I've said many, many times what GoDaddy Pro do. But I appreciate their, they're keeping the lights on over here. That's amazing. If you fancy subscribing to what we do, stick your email in there and I will batter you with emails every minute of the day. I won't, 2 a week. Is as many as you're going to get. So there you go. You can do that. This is what we've put out lately. If you go to WP Builds and then click this WP Builds podcast archive, this is the stuff that we've done. You can go and listen to those. We're on to episode number 364 at the moment. So check that out. We won't do that. And also, I just want to keep droning on about this. I've started a new podcast with the traitorous David Walmsley. David contacted me in November and said, I'm not using WordPress anymore. So why should I be on a WordPress podcast? And I said, right, sling your hook, Walmsley. And he did. And then about a week later, he contacted me and said, can we do another podcast? I miss the chats that we have. And so we did. We started a new one called The No Script Show. You can find it at noscript.show. And it's all about building websites without a CMS. Shock horror, I know. But it's about getting back to web standards, CSS, all the fun stuff which is happening in CSS. So this week's episode was about the exciting subject of container queries. I know, calm down, you three. You can barely contain your excitement. Container query, very cool, though. You should, if you don't know anything about them, you should listen. Anyway, that's what we're doing over there, noscript.show. All right, that's all the promotional stuff out of the way. Let's talk about something more impressive. Anne McCarthy has written a book. It's called The WordPress 6.5 Source of Truth, and it is a truly gigantic effort. We're not going to even vaguely attempt to do it, but I'm just going to scroll through it like breakneck speed. Wow, Anne. And she really has put together what can only be described as the source of truth for 6.5. We've covered a few bits and pieces of WordPress 6.5, but I just wanted to hat tip to Anne. So if you really, really want to know the weeds of everything, including links to every single possible thing, that's your article. It's called WordPress 6.5 Source of Truth. You can find it at nomad.blog. But just making it a little bit more manageable. Careful there, Tim. I got the right word, I think, this time. Making it a little bit more manageable, we have Stephen Lynn over at the Make WordPress Core blog, who has written something called WordPress 6.5 Field Guide. And it paraphrases a lot of the new stuff which is coming around in just a few short words. And I wanted to know if any of you are following the project closely enough to have found something in 6.5 that you think is a bit cool. If you don't have anything which is a bit cool, I'll just mention some of the things which I like. But I'm just going to hand it over. Feel free to do the whole interrupty thing. We'll figure out who can speak next at some point. But Michelle, Cammy, Tim, anything in 6.5 that you're liking the look of?
Oh, the font library.
Yeah.
Still my answer.
So many badly implemented fonts. and different ways that people would get font data and put it on their site. And it's a mess, and it always is a mess. And we're not going to be able to fix the old themes, but it's nice to have this idea that there's a possibility of being able to write down in reports, you can use the font library to do this and not this weird plugin that's been out of date for the last 5 years.
Yeah, or just go in your own way. So the font library is a UI, think media library. So you've got a separate section within the WordPress admin, which enables you to upload fonts and store them there. And then access them, which is just really, really cool because it's a part of every website, right? But we just have nowhere to put them except, usually a little bit of, PHP or a code snippet somewhere or a third party plugin, which might only allow you one free font. And then everything else you've got to pay for if you want two fonts on your website or something weird like that. But sorry, Cami, what was your reasoning for that as well?
Well, I'm just excited to have it organized, but I'm also intrigued by the AVIF image capability. And I've seen a lot of testing where it's so compressed and speeding up websites. And I'm really interested in that.
So AVIF, I can't remember where AVIF comes from, but it's not one of the Google ones, is it? I think WebP is the Google one. Whoever came up with AVIF, though, it's a significantly smaller. I think as much as 40%, something like that. So if you take a JPEG, like a photograph of a field with trees in it and something. So in other words, it's not just like a blanket color, like a logo or something. I think typically, if you had that in AVIF format and a JPEG format, you would get yourself somewhere in the region of a 40% saving. And in the era of trying to be, a bit more sustainable and environmentally friendly, that seems like a really good idea. Okay, great. Thank you, both of you. Anything else from Michelle?
I want you to pull up on the screen some of the comments because we're getting a lot of inputs from the
lovely.
Audience. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, first of all, hello, Atif. Hello, Nigel. Thank you for joining us. So Courtney says, site icon from settings. General, what does that mean?
I think it means it's no longer buried in the customization.
Oh, I get it. Right. Sorry. I thought I'd done something wrong with this live stream and she wanted me to correct something.
You just have to go to customization and then it was favicon, it was site icon. I mean, it's been all those things, but I think it's just a much more direct setting. Correct me if I'm wrong, Courtney, but I think that's what you're saying here.
Right. So an easier place to put the site icon. Sounds good. Okay. I'm just going to keep going with these because it sounds like a few people are jumping in. Editing a link after inserting it. So at the moment, if you chuck a link in, what happens? It just drops in as a link and then you have to click on it and open the little modal.
I haven't played with it yet.
Yeah. And then edit it. Whereas from what Courtney's saying, you get the immediate capacity. You jump right into the editing interface, which is, if I've parsed that right, Courtney, then that's really great. Babs is saying, yeah, that's cool. I think she must be talking about the site logo. Mm-hmm. Block bindings and custom fields. Yeah, so that's highlighted here in the text here. And we talked about block bindings, the API, a little while ago. There's an awful lot in there. It's probably a little bit difficult to get into on this particular show. But okay, that's fabulous as well. This thing at the top has got me interested, this interactivity API, the ability, and we've talked about this a little bit as well, the ability for developers, I guess, to be able to update something on the page in real time based upon something else that happens on that page. A good example being, you click add to cart and then suddenly one item is in your cart and it just shows number one and you add another thing and number two comes up. So the ability to make things like that happen and for it to be native, as opposed to built by every single developer that wants to have something like that functionality.
Elliot says Elliot's writing creating a video on how to use it. So that's
pretty cool. Nice. Well, Elliot, that's great. So the interactivity API is obviously for you. Oh, Elliot, if you've got a use case for that, apart from the sort of slightly basic one that I just described with a shopping cart, then I'd be interested to hear that. But also, if you want to drop me a line when you've done your video, I'd be really pleased to look at it and take a look at it. That'd be great. He says, working on a video, creating it and how to use it. I'm loving the standardization. And then Babs is joining in again with the font thing.
Yeah.
Okay, font library. So it kind of boils down in this article to interactivity API, font library, block bindings API, block meta view script module, updates to block hooks in 6.5, whole bunch of performance improvements, which we'll kind of get into in an article a little bit later from Pascal, Google's Pascal, who's on the performance team. Unification of the site and post editors, and then a bunch of miscellaneous changes. And you can see, as I said, the full detail over on Anne's site. But, you know, there you go. You've got the paraphrased version. Feels like it's going to be a big update. Feels like it might be one of those moments where you want to, you know, get yourself a cushion, calm yourself down before hitting update. You know, just make sure you've got some nice backups, because there's quite a lot of things in there which are, you know, going to change the UI and what have you.
I'm not sure it's a big update for the end user.
No.
It's very much, it feels like one of those foundational updates that you're not really going to see till the next core theme gets released and it has all of these features built into it.
Yeah.
So you can start to understand it. But I
did get an email as a plugin owner in the repo saying, make sure your plugin's up to date so that when this new thing launches, you've tested it and it works like it's supposed to. So it's affecting people at that level, I think, more than it is, like you said, Tim, at the end user level. But if you do have a theme or a plugin out there, you would probably want to make sure that it's compatible before people run into incompatibility issues.
I feel that like there's enough in there that I'm getting, how to describe it? I subscribe to as many WordPress RSS feeds as I can. As you can imagine, doing a show like this, it's kind of nice on a Friday to just sift through a bunch of news stories. But typically, there's not quite as much around the 6.4 release or the 6.3 release, whatever. This one seems to have got people writing. There's an awful lot of people who have something to say about whether it's the font library or the block bindings API. So anyway, there we go. Lots coming, and thanks for your thoughts. Any other comments drop in? No. Okay, but keep the comments coming. Really appreciate it. Lots so far. I thought this one was really interesting. Being an English speaker, and I am completely monolingual. I can speak English, and that is literally it. I'm incapable in any other tongue. I kind of ignore the whole the whole debate of, you know, translating WordPress into other languages. It always seems like somebody else's job. And
that's so very American of you.
Well, yeah, but you know, we're both speaking the same language, and it seems to be the language which, by good grace, WordPress is kind of written in at the beginning. So, you know, you can more or less guarantee that everything is going to work in that case. But I came across this article during the week, which I thought was interesting. It's over at translate.wordpress.org/projects/wp/dev. The link will be in the show notes, as always. And it's to do with the 6.5 development. And it's a table which simply shows the state of translations, all the strings that need to be translated, and how far through that process it is. Now, I don't know how live this is. So in other words, if somebody was to translate something now and it would be marked off as complete, whether we'd see that if we refresh. But what surprised me was the state of the 100%-ness of it all. So for example, Welsh, Polish, German, I'm just going to pick a few, Romanian, English and Australia, Georgian, Turkish, Catalan, French, Spanish, Japanese, Dutch, Swedish, Galatian, and a bunch of others, they're all at 100% ready, good to go. And then you start to go through, again, a raft of languages which are pegged at 90, high 90s. So Italian, Canadian English, which is kind of interesting. Do they just inject A? I'm so in trouble. Dear.
No comment.
No comment. I actually did a podcast this week with Sean Hooper about WordCamp A, and we jokingly referred to that quite a lot. So I feel I've got a get out of jail free card there. Uyghur, Albanian, Persian, all at 99%. Taiwanese, Chinese, Portuguese, from Portugal, Norwegian. I could go on. The point here is I am really, really pleasantly surprised by how much of this is ready to go out of the gate. I honestly thought that it would just be a chart with just loads and loads of, well, just much worse statistics, if you know what I mean. So I don't know if you've got any comments on that. I just thought that was
Well, I didn't realize that there was, that it was translated into American English and British English as well, until the first time I logged into a Big Orange Heart website and saw that it was called bin instead of trash. And so even just little things like that make a big difference when you are coming from a different language center.
I've got a comment here from Courtney. Can you contribute 1 hour to translating American English into the King's English? I don't know what the difference is, in all honesty.
Well,
bin and trash.
It's not necessarily about changing individual words and translating, but the Polyglot team are also doing things like translating phrases. We don't call things something like a bit trash. We would refer to it as the rubbish bit. So you'll find that if you go and look in there, there'll be it. So stuff like that. And it's going to be the same with Australia. They're going to be going down. I'm sort of a bit confused as to what the Canadian one, what that one string is that they haven't translated. Most of the English ones will take the original one and push through. So that means at some point that somehow a string has been left. That's a little bit confusing. The English one should all be at 100% because it's, they're all the same unless you change something.
Let's all ping Sean. Everybody ping Sean Hoofer. And ask him to look at that one translation.
Let's just all write him an email in the biggest font that we can find and just write, eh? So absolutely fascinating. Really, the only reason I raised it would be because of the fact that when I saw it, I was scrolling through and I was really surprised at the amount that was sticking at this 100% level. And as Tim says, you know, it is, broadly speaking, I would imagine, the same from one release to the other. So bin is going to be bin in the UK forever and ever and ever, and that's really never going to change. There's probably not a lot of work to do there, but there's bound to be a whole bunch of new stuff, especially given all of the bits and pieces that we've talked about, new things dropping in. But you can see, you know, as we go down, we're still at sort of 75% for Upper Sorbian, which is a language I've never even heard of. Aragonese, Amharic, Tamil, I've heard of that one. Urdu, Kazakh, Tibetan, 54%. I was just astonished. And again, it's testament to the community nature of the project, the fact that a lot of people chip in and do all of this work silently for the benefit of everybody.
Welsh is at the top of that list.
Yeah, why did Welsh get in number one?
Welsh speakers.
What's going on there, Tim? Have you got an insight? Why did Welsh get first?
Just did.
I thought that was curious as well. By the way, friendly web guy says we're all talking rubbish. Nice. I like it. We should put
I see what you did there, friendly web guy.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that. James is saying hi. You see, greetings. I don't know if anybody says that word anymore, but if that was in the
interface. Well, James does.
Yeah, James does, exactly. We have howdy. That's in our website. If you install a British English version of WordPress, you still get howdy. And it's like, no. So much so that there's a plugin to remove the howdy. Download a plugin just to get rid of howdy. Anyway, James, very nice to have you with us. And the same goes for Nigel.
Hello, Nigel and James.
Dropping in some comments. And Courtney, I will endeavor to go and meet the king, learn his English. And then come and translate WordPress. Fat chance. Okay, an event. Let's talk a little bit about events. In fact, we've got a few nice bits of news to share, especially in the UK space about events. But there's an online event coming up. It is actually beginning tomorrow. So this is a late bit of news, but I want to draw attention to WP Engine's Decode event. I kind of feel like this is probably being spoken on all the major channels. I've seen it dropping in all sorts of things, but it's beginning tomorrow. It's described as the virtual developer conference. And I'll just quote, it says the power of the WordPress ecosystem only continues to go stronger and more flexible through the cutting edge tools designed to make it easier than ever to before to go from zero to one. Seize the moment to shape what's next. Join us for Decode on the 19th and the 21st. And the idea of the conference is to explore the next generation of WordPress, how to level up your WordPress development and collaboration workflows, emerging technologies. Well, you've got to have it, haven't you? AI, if it wasn't in a conference these days, you've got to ask questions. that are rapidly changing our day-to-day work, and WP Engine's product innovation announcements. Obviously, they've got to have a little bit of that in there as well. Turns out somebody on our panel, if you go to their agenda page and you search for the word, Nash, let's go for that. Look, there's Tim. Tim's in a panel on, when are you on, Tim? What day are you on?
It gets repeated three times. So I'm on 1 p.m. it depends which sort of time zones you're in, but it's basically on three times on across the 2 days.
So have you recorded this panel already, your particular panel, or is it live and then they repeat it two more times?
Don't spoil the magic. No, yes. It is we recorded last week. It would be very awkward as I'm actually giving a live presentation elsewhere at 1 p.m. on the
which we'll get to. Yeah, being in two places at one time, you are Hermione Granger from one of the Harry. Yeah, I'll bet. Well, as luck would have it, we recorded this in May 2022, dear listener. We're amazing at predicting the future. But that's it. But you can see there's a great big agenda here. If you go to the agenda link at the top, you'll be able to see all that's going on. Dates are 19th and the 21st. Looks like there's a day off in between, but you can see the agenda. Again, I'll put links in the show notes, which will come out tomorrow morning. But if you fancy taking some time out of your busy day, then Decode might be the place to go and catch Tim. What is your panel about, Tim? I should have asked that.
Security. It's security. How to improve security without sacrificing performance.
Okay.
We talk about security, a bit of performance. AI is, crowbarred in there as is required by law all conferences to have every panel and every talk must mention AI, and we dutifully do so as well.
Okay, well, join Tim and all the other fabulous speakers at that event. And Tina has joined us. Hello, Tina. And she tells us that in South Africa, you get, how's it? Oh, that's the howdy. The howdy becomes how's it, like how's it going kind of thing. All right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we just get howdy, but nobody says howdy here, but we still have it, nevertheless.
It's a pretty Texas thing, I think.
Yeah.
And I think, that's where certain somebody's from, so that makes sense.
Right. It stays there. So, okay. I don't know what we'd say. I think we'd just say hello, which is a bit bland, isn't it? Hello, Nathan, it would say in my admin. Okay, right. Let's move it on. I should have said. Does anybody want to contribute to the Decode bit, Cammy or Michelle?
It's exciting. Congratulations, Tim. I'm looking forward to hearing more about your talk.
Oh, thank you.
And I didn't know about it until I got the show notes. So I signed up and hopefully I'll just have it going on my extra screen while I'm working this week.
Do you know what's really interesting about that comment, Cammy, is that I run an event, right, called the Page Builder Summit. I run it with Anshin LaRue and some others, which I'll announce a little bit later in weeks to come. And it is amazing how the lengths that you go to get the word out. And yet still the WordPress community is so gigantic. You turn up and you talk to people and you say, oh, yeah, we do the summit. And the vast, vast, vast majority of people that you speak to have never heard of it. And you think, oh, boy, we're just really bad at marketing. No, it's just that there's too many people to market to. But I thought Decode, for everything that I read, I felt Decode had done a fabulous job of kind of saturating the landscape with marketing and announcements and making it really obvious. But there you go. Cammy's in the community, probably reads a lot in and around it. And still never heard about it. So there you go. Hopefully we've gained an audience of one. Cammy will be joining.
Oh, and I shared it too. So
nice.
I shared it with you. So
there we go. Okay. All righty.
To be sent for you to.
Yeah.
What was that?
You should be asking for a check off WP Engine.
Okay.
They've got some money in their marketing budget to send to the.
Right. I'll ask then. WP Engine, can I have a check? And we'll see. See what happens. Here we go. James has a comment about it. He says, I've attended Decode last year. It was pretty good. A ton of great engineering talks and insights. If that's pretty good, you should check out Tim's All Right newsletter. It's well worth a read. I'm going to keep using that. I think that's brilliant. Okay, let's move on. So now we're here. I just wanted to point out the amount of developer-y stuff that we seem to be getting over at WordPress, the WordPress.org developer blog at the moment. I don't know if you've sensed this ratcheting up of developer-related content, but it feels like this kind of stuff wasn't really being done on the .org website. But now we've got absolutely loads. We've got this What's New for Developers article, which sort of comes around every single month. This is the March edition, and I wanted to point it out. I'm not going to go into it all unless one of you three had read it and wanted to pick out a particular bit. I'm going to pause and see if anybody does. No, there was crickets there, I sensed. Okay, in which case, ignore that. But if you are a developer, do check it out. developer.wordpress.org /news. And each and every month it's being updated. It seems, I mean, look at it. It's a bit like Anne McCarthy. There's absolutely tons in here to keep you updated. We've covered a lot of that before. And then Justin is up to the same sort of thing. Justin Tadlock, who used to write at the Tavern and then joined Automattic. He's doing all sorts of content over there as well. This time, how to register block variations with PHP. Again, notes will be in our show notes, and I'll wait to see if anybody wants to comment on that. No. All right. In which case, we'll move over here, which is kind of Brian Cord's take on the whole thing. He's sort of got the same intuition as I had. He's writing at WP Tavern, although we'll have to wait and see which of the seven authors managed to successfully survive the Hunger Games, and which five of them have fallen by the wayside. But Brian caught my attention with this one. He talks about exactly the same thing, Automattic sort of doubling down on the developer community. He gets into all sorts, actually. He gets into the whole WordPress.com, WordPress.org thing, and how confusing it is, frankly. And if we want to go into that, we can, the WordPress.org, WordPress.com thing, but that's all I wanted to say about that. Shall we just move it on? All righty, we'll do that. I don't know about this one. I'm not sure what your thoughts are, but this is WP Cloud, which is an initiative that I don't really know a lot about. So I'm hoping that one of you knows a little bit more than I do. But WP Cloud, which is what I think .com is built on, and I believe Pressable uses this stack of technology as well. And if Jess is in the comments, she could confirm or deny that. Bluehost have announced a new cloud hosting bill on top of WP Cloud. So I'm guessing that these companies like Bluehost and what have you sort of opt in, purchase the WP Cloud infrastructure, and then roll it out under their own sort of white-labeled system. I don't really know. It says the following. This is on the Tavern, as I said. Bluehost has announced Bluehost Cloud. It's built on WP Cloud infrastructure in collaboration with WordPress.com to provide support for websites with high traffic, etc. Bluehost Cloud promises managed WordPress hosting with 100% network uptime, faster page load, and better performance. It targets professionals and can handle any traffic spike. Well, I guess if it's built on top of, you know, the WP Cloud infrastructure, that would be the gambit. CDN, 28 global data centers, automatic WordPress edge caching. It guarantees incredible website speed. So do any of you know about this WP Cloud? Is this like a software as a service built by WordPress that all these other hosting companies can just sort of buy into? Do you know anything about it?
Not exactly. It's closer to AWS or one of the cloud providers. It's basically providing the back-end infrastructure.
Right.
If you think about it, Automattic are really a hosting company, and they always have been. They just tried so hard to pretend they weren't. And eventually they realized that all these other hosting companies, they make money by like just selling their infrastructure. And there must have been this crystal moment somewhere where someone went, but we have infrastructure. We could sell it. We could make money too.
Ah.
And that light bulb moment kicked in and you've got WP Cloud. I'm not sure if it's a one-to-one from their, from WordPress.com's infrastructure as it is, because that's very specialized. And from chats with people, they've done an awful lot of very things that would be quite hard for them to spin out to allow other people like Bluehost to use directly. But that doesn't mean that the actual physical infrastructure, so the servers underneath and how they know and the knowledge they have of software stacks and provisioning of servers, et cetera, can't be reused. And that's apparently what they've done with WP Cloud. And yeah, they really are taking on a infrastructure as a service
style. Okay.
Rather than software as a service.
Right.
Well, so basically they've just taken the WordPress layer off and reapplied it to Bluehost, who are then adding it back on again.
What's in it for the likes of Bluehost, though? Or you know, for Bluehost, read any hosting company. What is it that the infrastructure is, well, air quotes, superior or, you know, built in a certain way? Why would they, a host that's already got presumably racks and racks and racks in data centers already managing their own hosting, why would a host wish to opt into this? What's the benefit?
Because you don't want racks and racks and every single server, especially if you've been in hosting for a long time, you have the pros and cons, but every server costs money, both to acquire the server in the first place, put it in a rack. The rack itself costs money. You've got the power costs, the consumption, bandwidth costs, all of this adds up, plus the technical debt and the technical costs in there. You need to have staff who know how to do this. You need to have them on 24/7. You need all of this stuff there. And if you're a new company coming into this space, then suddenly the cloud looked like a no-brainer. Oh yeah, I can just rent some space off Amazon or Automattic. For an older company like Bluehost, well, they might be looking and going, we've got these data centers, but we need to modernize them. We need to have a refresh. Ouch, I've just seen that bill come in and I don't have 20 million lying around to do a full refresh. I will just do a partial refresh, or we'll decommission servers and rent, take some from these. I'm sure that there was a lot of deals being made to make sure that that was profitable. But yeah, hosting yourself is really expensive. So if Automattic came along with a sweetheart deal and said, I don't know, obviously the internet business transaction, but if Automattic, as I assume, came along and said, hey, we know you, you know us, here's a sweetheart deal to be our big customer. And Bluehost went, well, that will save us from having to build two new data centers or refresh two data centers. Let's go with that. And we get to then jump up a level in terms of the type of hosting we are, because without being mean to Bluehost, they are not known as the greatest hosting company in the world. You don't tend to get people recommending them as a top tier hosting. They are more towards your Walmart level hosting company. They stack them high and sell low prices, but stacking them very high. So this gives them an opportunity to dip their toes in that slightly more lucrative market, because managed WordPress hosting is a very lucrative market if done correctly. So this gives them a nice little way in and potentially saving them costs at the same time.
So the Amazon comparison sits really well with me. I can really understand that, because the story, at least in my head, goes that, like, let's say it was 15 years ago, somebody in the Amazon, you know, the upper echelons of Amazon made the same connection you just pretended that, you know, WordPress made, which was, we've got thousands of computers all around the world. Why don't we actually start using them for other people's stuff instead of just our stuff? Because we built, look, they're just bulletproof. Everything stays up. And then very, very rapidly, Amazon started eating everybody's lunch. I mean, there was a period of time where that was all anybody talked about, right? And so you could, you know, all these things like, I don't even know if DigitalOcean and companies like that are using Amazon, but those kind of companies pop up, which, do you know what I mean? Like those companies that sell on Amazon stuff. So it's a bit like that. WordPress.com has this infrastructure and they're selling it little chunks at a time to companies like Bluehost, who then just get to step away from the technological nightmare of keeping the data center up to date, you know, all of that, swapping out disks when they go wrong. WordPress.com takes that, or the WP Cloud takes that over and sells on their expertise and their engineering and their infrastructure and hardware, a price which presumably is good for them and, you know, good for the vendor, in this case, Bluehost. Right. Okay. I didn't understand that, but now I do. Thank you. Cammy, anything? Michelle, anything?
No, I just was looking over their press release again, and I just put some notes in the private chat there about what I just copy and pasted it, basically saying that other WordPress providers typically charge for traffic spikes or throttle resources as site demands grow. The partnership with Automattic takes care of a lot of those kinds of things. So basically just adding on to what Tim's already said, but...
I'm just smiling at them going, oh, yeah, we won't charge you for traffic spikes. you will once you start getting them.
But it's
amazing, right?
Anything that makes it better for the user is a good move. So,
this whole WP Cloud thing, I've just heard talk of it lately, the last sort of 3 to 4 months. Is that because I'm ignorant, or is that because it is a new offering and Bluehost are one of the first to sort of jump in with both feet? Nobody knows.
I've only heard of it in the last 3 months. I only heard of it because of the announcement with Bluehost.
Okay. All right. So, So, James, thank you for dropping in. James says, do you suppose Bluehost is going towards a WP VIP equivalent? And I'm guessing that it is, I would imagine it's built on top of the same infrastructure as WP VIP, or at least they're sort of, those teams may be closely related. I don't know. And James is also saying, I've seen in the past 3 to 4 years, WP offerings have been showing itself on hosting sites more and more, but I can't imagine the time and infrastructure needed to maintain them. Yeah, no kidding. You managed to get them all in one comment. Thanks, James. I've seen in the past I think you managed to get that in. And then Courtney said, WP Cloud has been around for a while. Oh, thanks, Courtney. WP Cloud has been around for a while, but no takers until lately. InstaWP, which is that spin up a site in the time it takes you to say the word site. Boy, that should be their motto. I'm going to copyright that and sell it back to them. So they're using it as well. Okay, so by the sounds of it, if somebody like Bluehost is hopping in, I'm imagining, let's wait 12 months and this conversation could be quite different. Maybe quite a lot of these companies, medium to large companies, because I'm presuming it's not going to be a teeny tiny little host that WordPress are going to be talking to. It's going to be the bigger ones who could be very profitable. Let's wait and see. Okay, thank you, Courtney, for the last comment there. All righty. Some dates for your diary coming up. If you were in attendance at WordCamp Asia, there was high anticipation for where the next one. I was convinced it was going to be in Japan, and I was sat next to somebody who said it's going to be in the Philippines. I was like, that's Japan. And of course, it was the Philippines. Yeah. So get your calendars out. WordCamp Asia, which was a very, very successful event, or at least it was from where I was sitting. Just happened last week. And of course, one of the things that they always do to keep the excitement going is right at the end, they announce where it's going to be next time. And it's going to be in Manila, in 2025. I actually don't know. Michelle, do you remember if they mentioned the dates? I'm not sure if they gave any of that stuff out.
Don't think they did yet.
No.
Not that I recall.
Okay. Manila, though, it is. So, don't get your calendar out, yet. But just pop it away, but have it at the ready.
February, but no dates specifically yet.
Okay, get the calendar back out and get your crayon out and just do the whole of February. Just book out.
I'm looking at the splash pages already up with a call for organizers.
Oh, right. Okay. So you can head to there. It's already happening. But so this brings me to the next question. So Cammy, Tim, forgive me. I'm going to be slightly exclusionary here because I know that neither of you attended WordCamp Asia, but I did, sat next to a fabulous lady called Michelle in the contributor day, and we uploaded photographs, and she has the permission to, if you upload a photograph, she gets to say yay or nay. And I kept
power.
But it kept failing, didn't it? Everything, most of what I uploaded failed to work. We'd never got to the bottom of that.
But I will say it's mostly it was you, Nathan. But
yeah, it's definitely me. It's always me. I just want to know what your thoughts were. You know, looking back, I know that on previous WordCamps, you've had a few bits and pieces to say about the accessibility of the event, given your situation particularly.
Yeah.
How did it all go from you from that perspective? But also, did you just simply enjoy the event? Was it a good fun time?
It was an amazing event. Absolutely, bar none. WordCamp Asia has had two events now, and they both have just hit the highest marks as far as I'm concerned. Interestingly, so last year I did attend, and they had put a lot of attention on accessibility, and almost everything was accessible last year until the very final day when they had all of the people come up on stage and they looked at me with horror in their eyes because the main stage wasn't accessible. And I was just like, oh, come on, you guys, I could care less about being on the stage at this point. Take your moment in the sun. But this year they made sure that even the very last thing was that I would be able to get on the stage. So there was literally nothing I did not access. In Taiwan. And even most, all the restaurants we went to, like all the public spaces we went to, there literally was nothing that I had any issue with accessing. And so, they really put all the detail and attention. And I love it. I always say, you know, if you make it accessible for me, you've made it accessible for other people too. So feel free to ask me all the questions. I was not the only person with mobility issues. I was not the only person. There are people with canes. There are people in wheelchairs. I was not the only person. And so by asking me questions, making sure that things were accessible for me, then you also make sure that things are accessible for any other people who attend. And I'm always happy to be the person to answer those questions so that you can make it more accessible for other people. So I haven't spoken to those other people. I hope that they found it as accessible as I did. But yeah, bar none, it was pretty amazing event.
It's a bit of a silly question because I kind of know the answer, but it doesn't become accessible by default, right? There's no Correct. Event on that level, which most of it will be accessible if you just pick the venue without thinking about it, you know, Right. do the stage without thinking about it, organize the rooms Yeah. without thinking about it. It's all got to be done. Right. Presumably every decision has to go through the prism of accessibility Right. one step at a time.
So the room that I spoke in, because I did a talk in Asia, I either had to not get on stage or you had to have a ramp for me to get on stage. And of course they had a ramp for me to get on stage. They made sure that all of the platforms that the vendors had in the sponsor halls had little ramps so that yeah. if I wanted to get, and I and other people, of course, wanted to be able to even get onto those little platforms, I could. And so I did. I took advantage of that so that it was, not for naught, as it were, but also so that I could interact and do the same things that other people had access to. And so, you know, thinking about those, that sponsors took into account that if they were having an event, I could access it. That the dinner for speakers and then the after party, all of those things were accessible as well. And so, you know, my gratitude, of course, but we shouldn't even have to give gratitude. It should just be something right. that people think of. But I am grateful that they do take those things into account and that, that so many strides have been made in the last few years to make, WordPress events accessible. So yeah, it was great.
Nice. I got to catch your presentation. I only managed to, I saw from about 10 minutes in, I snuck in because I was doing an interview. I snuck in right at the back in the, I saw you on the stage. It was quite a high stage, actually. You were like, right up there. But it was a lovely event. I managed to connect with lots of people that I haven't seen before, managed to reconnect with lots of people that I had seen before, managed to carry out a bunch of interviews. I'm doing a bunch of interviews for the tavern. They'll be coming out, a few of them. One of them has already. And I'll be putting some more out as the days and weeks go on. But what a great event. What a fabulous yeah. location. And it's just a shame it rained every day. I was not looking forward to that. You know, I was expecting.
It was very overcast.
Yeah.
But it wasn't snow, so I was happy.
Well, the day before I was due to set off, it was 31 degrees in Taipei. The day that I landed, it was 12. It's like, oh.
Okay.
But I can't complain. But I really enjoyed it. From every perspective, I enjoyed it. It was just lovely to catch up with some friends, make some new friends, as I said. And then back to this one, Bluehost Cloud is in early access pricing. Ah. Okay. We didn't mention the pricing, but it is in the article. You can go and check that out for yourself. But it looks like early bird catches the worm and all that by the sounds of it. And InstaWP spins up a site in less time than it takes. Well, it does if you muddle it up like I do. I'm going to say it correctly. InstaWP spins up a site in less time than it takes to say this tagline. That's quite a hard tagline to say. I think there's some work to be done on the order of the word.
By design. By
yeah,
design.
That's right, yeah, that's right. Halfway through an abandoned ship. Now start again. Okay. I don't know if either of you two want to be talking about WordCamp Asia. You're welcome.
I loved all the pictures. I especially love the pictures of that super cool building that must have been near the venue that everybody
Taipei 101.
Yeah, everybody took that picture, and it was really fun to see everyone. And it looked like the weather was, even though it's rainy, I live in Seattle, so that's normal. But it looked comfortable, like it didn't look like it was super humid or anything like that.
No.
So
No.
It was really nice to watch everything online and So
we were in a hotel. I say we, there were lots of us in a hotel that was really close to that building. And in the UK, I don't know quite why, but in the UK, we really didn't go down the skyscraper route. We have very few buildings of considerable size. I think, you know, there's quite a few in London now, which are fairly tall. But and I spent a ridiculous amount of time just staring at that building. It's called Taipei 101. And in Taipei, there's nothing as big as that, not even approaching as big as that. There's just this.
It's the third tallest building in the world, Nathan. And so
it's bonkers big. I took this photo on the day that I left, and it was literally the top of it was in the clouds.
Wow.
And I know that you've got stuff like that in New York, and it's.
Did you go to the top?
Only in my mind. The reason I didn't go to the top was because the day I wanted to go to the top, it was in the clouds. So I thought I might as well just stay.
Still worth it.
Yeah.
I learned so much. Yes. I took some pictures I'll be uploading to WordPress.org photo directory.
It looks so different at different times of the day, too. Like,
it's true. Yeah. And it's lit up pretty beautifully at night. Yeah. It has this giant, 200 metric ton steel ball that hangs suspended on the 87th to 89th floor, something like that. That is a wind damper so that it controls the sway of the building in case of earthquakes and typhoons and high winds. And I was just like, the nerd in me was so happy to see
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, giant what wind ball. That's what you need. Yeah, apparently they do that in Japan a lot. They have something just to, I don't know quite how it works. Mm-hmm. I guess there's inertia in the ball or something like that if the whole thing starts to move. I would not be happy to see that ball moving. I'd be like, get down. Yes, I did take the British weather with me. Thank you, says friendly web guy. Yes, it would appear that I did. Tim, anything on WordCamp Asia?
I'm super jealous.
Oh, I'll take you with me next time.
Okay.
We can go together.
I'll hide in your luggage.
Yeah, that's right.
If you can go. It's such a great experience.
Yeah, it really was good. Anyway, enough of all that. Let's talk about a different event. So this is something else which was announced, and we'll just do this very quickly because, you know, it's not like a big community event. It's a much smaller kind of tight-knit event, if you know what I mean. This is to say that Matt Mullenweg is going to deliver the State of the Word address in 2024. Just before we started the show, I said it's kind of interesting that that's now split out into its own little event. I think there's 200 places available or something like that. So it's much, much smaller. It's like 2 hours long with like a thing after it. But if you're really into that, you now know about it. And Michelle, you said something about like why it's been split. I don't know if
So it you know, prior to the pandemic, it used to be part of the closing ceremonies, I guess, of WordCamp US. And during the pandemic, of course, we weren't having these events except online. And so the State of the Word was decoupled from any particular event or any particular region. And so because it isn't a US thing, it's a global thing. So to have it at one of the flagships just felt a little unfair to the rest of the world, I'm assuming. I have not heard that officially. And then after we came back in person, it was a very small event at the Tumblr offices in New York City 2 years in a row, which I was able to attend. But because of the pandemic, it was like 50 people, and that was, you know, masked and all of those things. And then this year it was moved to Madrid. And I think it's pretty awesome that moving it every year is going to give the opportunity for different communities to come and participate in that event, to ask questions, to be present, and to report back to on what that event is. And so if you have an opportunity to attend the State of the Word, I say go for it. It was such an amazing experience for me to be there and to ask questions and to listen and kind of be part of that community, that little representative group of all of us. And so I threw a watch party this year online with my local meetup, which turned out to be like kind of a global thing. We had about 20 different people from around the world in my little Zoom room, which was pretty cool. But if you have an opportunity to watch it that way, watch it on your own, watch it in replay, whatever. There's just a lot that get mentioned there, and it's just an opportunity to hear what's on the blueprint for what's coming in WordPress, more than just the software, with the community and events as well.
16th of December, 2024. So you've got plenty of time to whip your calendar out. You know, so we should be good. Okie dokie. I thought this was a nice article. I was really lucky enough to see to see Leslie Sim, who goes with the title Leslie.pizza online, which is just a great website URL, by the way, Leslie. But lucky enough to meet her, she took 12 of us, including herself, 13, on a walk, which was quite a walk. I'll say no more. And nice to spend some time with her. But subsequently, since getting back, she wrote an article called The Oxygen Mask Approach to Open Source. And I'll just sort of paraphrase. Basically, you know, if you get on a plane, you go through this safety check. And one of the things that they always say is, if you're sitting next to a child, make sure that your oxygen mask is on before you deal with the child next to you. The principle being, well, you know, you might spend so long getting the oxygen mask on the child next to you that you yourself succumb. So get yourself sorted first. Make sure you're okay. Then move on to the other people around you if that's what's needed. And so this whole article is about this in open source. And it's basically saying, it's not saying don't do open source unless you've got yourself sorted, but it's saying that's an okay position. Don't feel bad just because you have contributed or want to contribute. If you're not in a position to contribute, then you haven't got your own mask on. And don't worry about it. You know, other people can do things, you don't have to. And I just thought this was a really nice way of phrasing it. And I know, Cammie, you kind of liked this, didn't you?
Yeah, I love this article because I've been part of the WordPress meetup group here in Seattle since, well, you know, volunteering since about 2016. But I taught a basic WordPress meetup from 2018 until 2023. And finally, last year, I was just like, I need a break. And, you know, we all come to that point where you need to just step back. And we were going to have a WordCamp in Seattle, and we put that on hold since US is going to be in Portland for 2 years. But our meetup group kind of dwindled in terms of people running it during COVID. And it just, you know, made it all that much harder to kind of spread ourselves around and teach. So I'm taking a break. I'm putting my mask on. So I loved this article. I thought it was great. Wisdom from Robert is always good. So.
Oh, yeah. I should say Robert Winditch, who gave Leslie the idea from Syde, S-Y-D-E. It was in the contributor day. Robert suggested that Leslie take this approach.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten that detail.
I thought it was great. But it is true. You know, we all want to help, and you get in the pattern of doing it. And sometimes, you know, you're running your business, you're doing all the other things. It's okay to step back for a little bit, and then you can always resume what you were doing.
I guess there are some things where that really is more difficult than other things. So I did a podcast episode for the Tavern a little while ago, and it was all about PHP unit testing, I believe it was. And I can't remember who, was it Juliet? Forgive me, Juliet. What's Juliet's surname? Tim, you're nodding your head. Anyway,
Juliet. I was about to tell you, and then you came Tim, and I was like, nope, gone out of my head.
Oh, darn it. Anyway, Juliet, she is more or less single-handedly propping up this very important part of the WordPress project. And that makes it even harder, right? Because all of that weight falls on Juliet's shoulders. And so if Juliet steps away, this entire edifice collapses. So that's really difficult. But obviously, if you're in a WordCamp organizing team and there's 12 of you doing a similar sort of job, that can be spread around. But I feel guilt doing things like that. If I've been doing something for any length of time and I then step away, there is this impending sense of guilt. And I don't know where that comes from. I don't know why that happens. But I do feel like, oh, I should do it because I've always done it, or I've been doing it for a really long time. And I guess what Leslie's saying is, get over it. You know, it's okay to look after yourself, right? You're put yourself first from time to time. Open floor. Anybody want to go with that?
When I used to teach in the massage school, what they would often say about self-care is you can't pour from an empty cup. So you have to make sure that you have taken care of yourself before you can help others. Very important.
But you contribute a lot of your time, right? So I'm not trying to drop you in it here, Michelle, but you contribute a lot of your time. Do you ever have that thing where, because you've been doing such and such a thing for the longest time, you sort of do pour from an empty cup occasionally? Because, you know, it's what Michelle does. Michelle does this thing and that thing and this other thing. And it's hard to sort of step out and be honest with yourself that you're facing burnout or you're, I don't know, you know, unless you spend something.
A little bit. So, but those are the times when I will actually take a little step back from certain projects of my own, as opposed to letting other people down, right? So if I'm up against that, I'll be like, well, I'm not going to publish, you know, WP Coffee Talk for a month or two, even though I've got some things in the, that I could publish. I let people know that those episodes are going to be a little late coming up because I need to deal with my own self first and not pour from the empty cup, as it were. So.
Yeah, thank you. And Courtney, to the rescue, Reinders Fulmer. Thank you, Courtney. I feel really bad. But that's perfect. Yeah, contributing. So anyway, thank you for that, Courtney. And then Nigel says contributing is a privilege. James also adding in that you can only do so much time. And then Ben Intel. Oh, we're back to WordCamp Asia. It was great meeting, well, me in this case, but it was very nice to meet you too. And I am not just a cutout head. That did come, actually, but I managed to stop them using it mostly, which was fabulous. I'm going to get an entire cutout of Bob's body minus the head.
There you go.
That's my...
I'll just decapitate it,
and everybody else can plonk their head on it. And that's my mission for WordCamp.
It should have a hat.
It's like those old fairground things, just that little empty egg space where you can be Bob from it. Bob did a sponsor booth, which was really interesting because, you know, every sponsor booth basically is a product, right? You know, you've got a thing and you're trying to pitch the product. Bob's booth isn't a product. And I was really curious as to what he made of it, but he reckoned it was so worthwhile. All the people. So he was literally just pitching his, well, not even pitching. He was just being there to say, I've got a podcast, have a listen. And he reckons it was really worthwhile. He got to meet a ton of new people that would have been much more difficult for him to meet. So anyway, yeah, next time I'm coming with Headless Bob. That doesn't sound nice.
I mean, think about it. It's basically you get to be Santa Claus and everybody comes to you instead of you having to go out to everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. Very forward thinking. He's a
also, he gets a
Bob.
Seat.
And he gets, well, you know, you get to a certain age, don't you? Not saying anything, Bob, just, you know. He'll take that in good measure, I would imagine. We send each other quite a lot of messages and they're mostly deprecating of one another. It's quite funny. Okay, let's move on quickly while I get myself out of that hole. This, I don't even know, right? Please tell me, is the DSA, so we're going to talk very quickly about the Digital Services Act. Is this a US piece of legislation or is this some sort of international EU type thing? What is this? Does anybody know? Nobody knows.
I think it's EU. I think it's EU.
Okay. That sounds okay by me. We'll go with, I mean, usually when it's something like this, very often it is the EU, isn't it? When there's something tightening up around privacy or something like that, very often the EU, is to blame. Oh, I know it's the EU. I know it's the EU because of this fabulous comment, which we'll come to in a minute. Can you see that on the screen? We'll come to that in a moment. Brilliant. So it is the EU. Thank you. You've reminded me. So the DSA, the Digital Services Act, which I really don't know a lot about, but think of it, I guess, a bit like GDPR. It's coming and it's going to change the way things are. It would appear that the WordPress project needs to think a little bit about notifying people in the forums. So you've been used to, you know, logging in and making comments on the forums and what have you. I'm guessing that this is going to count in forums that you may yourself run. But in the future, the Digital Services Act is going to, I guess, compel you to notify your users when certain things happen. So, for example, if you archive people's content, then you need to actually let them know that you've taken it down, which I think is curious because as a website owner, I kind of like to think that I've got total carte blanche. You know, I don't like that. I disagree with what you've said. I'm going to moderate it out of existence. Apparently, in the case of the WordPress forums, the opinion is that that's maybe not the way that they need to approach it. Maybe it's not as draconian as that, but it says here, it is a requirement on legal advice that notification be clear about why content is being archived. So in the future, WordPress forum moderators, if they're going to archive anything, they need to be mindful of that and notify people. They also need to notify users if they are blocked. So if they do something naughty and get blocked, they need to be notified about what the reason for that is. But if they produce spam content, that's fine. You just don't need to notify them about anything. And so there you go. So if you are in the WordPress community forums and you, you know, you're posting things and somebody decides to take it down for one reason or another, they've got to notify you. I got a feeling that companies like Facebook are just going to be like, no, we're just going to do it whenever we like. But anyway, like, so I thought that was
maybe the notification can just be because I said so, or, you know,
they're talking about down here about having a sort of drop down list of templated replies, you know, so it might be so, okay. For example, I don't know, offensive content. You just pick a thing and then pick presumably one. It spits out. But interesting, you've got to do it in the first place, yes. Right?
A lot of social media already has that, right? So Facebook already has that. Twitter already has that, where it you do get a notification if something's been removed. You can further investigate. You can open up. You can reply and say, I don't think it should have been, and go through some kind of arbitration. They get the last say, but at least you have an opportunity, because a lot of it is just done digitally through AI, looking for keywords and things like that. So I think that this is just moving into an area that's not specifically social media, where people have had opportunity to have back and forth with one another.
It does feel a lot like somebody has come up with a bunch of laws without thinking about implementation, as always.
And you're kidding.
That never happens.
I was going to say, do lawmakers ever do that?
Actually gone and been in a forum to moderate it. They might have suddenly realized that shadow bans are really useful for letting that person just yell into the void for a little while.
So
some people are dicks and need to be kicked out as quickly as possible and don't need to go through 20 levels of fruit.
Nathan, that should not be the title of this episode.
It could go
in the drop down.
Gotta say, it's a strong pick. That's right. You are a expletive. That's why we benefit. But it does, you're right. I mean, I don't know, in all reality, I don't know what the WordPress forums kind of traffic is. I would imagine it's, you know, fairly steady and what have you. But it's going to be more work, right, on behalf of all the moderators. And again, you'll have to be
more
trained.
Work from volunteers.
Exactly.
And being a support forum, I've been in the support forum contributor and in the core support forum team for a long time, and stepped back away from it because of burnout and bit. It is not a fun place to be at times. And people are not necessarily nice, and they don't understand that this is something is wrong. And it's one thing when you're a support engineer at a hosting company or at a product company and someone's yelling at you, and there's a little part of it that's still wrong, but it's your job and you've got people you can go to and mechanisms internally to be able to deal with. For a long time, the support forums were places where people came to be very nasty to people who were just trying to help them and be volunteers. So they don't need more problems. That said, these sort of laws come from a place where they have a genuine problem and they're trying to solve the thing. And they create an act that's aimed at Facebook, and it inadvertently affects WordPress support forums, but it equally affects Joe's football forum of 10 people,
right?
In ways that they never thought about,
right?
They just never thought it through. Like Otto's comment though about banning, which I'm pretty sure was in jest.
I don't see Otto's comment. Where's Otto?
You scroll
comment?
Down.
Oh yeah, I say. Oh, I say. Yeah, Otto's comment. So Otto said the following. I guess trying to sort of rile the conversation a little bit. He said, "I believe that it would be much simpler and more effective to simply block anyone from the EU posting content at all. If they want to pass stupid laws, then they get stupid results. Firstly, I'm not in the EU. But secondly, you know, most people in the EU don't actually pass stupid laws." Yeah. Most people in the EU sit and watch their politicians pass stupid laws, which I guess happens all over the place. But the interesting thing I think about this is that it would appear on the face of it that the DSA, the Digital Services Act, if I post something to an online forum, I have an expectation that if that ever went live, I need to be told if it's taken down. And I think that's kind of an interesting shift, because it gives me, as a poster, somebody that's posting the content, a kind of power in a way that I feel that I never would have had before. You know, I would have assumed that once I'd hit return, if it ever got moderated onto the forum, then I would have no expectation that that would be there forever unless somebody told me about it. I would have expected that, you know, at any point, the website, for whatever policies they've got there, can just remove it. But maybe this puts more power into the hands of posters. And we'll see how that goes. You see how that plays out over the long term. Anyway, sorry. Cammy, Michelle, anything you want to add to that?
I just think it would be very hard for people to keep track of places they're posting stuff and then, like, being concerned about what happens.
Yep. Anyway, if you're a moderator, a bit like Tim was, hopefully this new, in air quotes, burden is not going to be too onerous. And it would appear that Ryan appreciates your sense of humor. Tim, I'm guessing he's talking about, you know, that comment that you made a minute ago, which I'm not going to repeat. Needle in a haystack, says James. Peas in the pool, lost in the void. That's the possible title. There we go. Peas in the pool, lost in the void. No, all right. Okay, moving on. Okay, some more events. We talked about Decode a little while ago. I want to bring your attention to the fact that in the UK, it would appear WordPress is coming back to life in real in-person events. So since 2019, the whole thing just disappeared. It went online. I guess there was a portion of people that could cope with that, but I think the vast majority of people decided after a period of time that online wasn't really for them. But now that's in the past, hopefully the rearview mirror. And WordPress London, the WordPress London meetup, met a few weeks ago in London. And the plan is to do it every single month from now on. And the next one has been announced. You can see on this page. So this is really for people in the UK, I guess. March the 28th. So 10 days from now, Thursday, March the 28th. It's at the Klaviyo offices in London. So if you fancy doing that, you can go to meetup.com, search for WPLDN. But I'll put the link in the show notes for tomorrow. And slightly closer to home, both me and Tim. I mean, Tim, I've only been a couple of times, to be honest, but Tim, I think, was a stalwart of this event. WordPress Leeds is returning to in-person meetups. How long have you been off the in-person thing over at Leeds?
So it's worth saying that these are the two oldest WordPress user groups in the country. They've both been around since 2008. And they were founded within a month of each other.
Isn't there a bit of rivalry? Isn't there some...
So London is the younger kid.
You had to say it.
by a week or less than a week. It's good because at its height, just before the pandemic, there were 26 user groups in the UK with active in-person events. Now, if you think of the size of the UK, 26 user groups, there were points where you could literally walk down a street and find a new user group. And they were decimated, absolutely decimated. 2020 was the last WordPress Leeds in-person event, and it was February 2020. It was just before the pandemic. We were all sort of going, just before we were going into lockdown, I should say. And there really was like, should we have this? Shouldn't we have this debate going on? And by the time we were just before lockdown for the first that one, and there were very few people who came. And obviously the next event, we were in lockdown. There weren't any in-person events. This is a informal return in that we're meeting in a coffee shop. But yeah, it's been a long time coming, and there are options with venues and things around. And so we do have lots of, hopefully going forward, it will mean that these user groups will restart and that might kickstart others. I know Elliot who's been in the chat, was talking about WordPress Cheltenham restarting. And I think WordPress Northeast might already have restarted. They certainly, there from their meetup page, they appear to be back in person and have been for a little while. But it'd be nice to see some user groups starting, because that's the only way we're going to kickstart the larger events. We had Whitley Bay as our sole WordCamp for the last 4 years.
You went to that, right? You liked
it. I did. And do you know what? It was one of my favorite WordCamps of all time.
Huh.
I love small, intimate event like that.
Oh, okay.
What a massive fan of the let's get 2,000 or 4,000 or 6,000 people in a space. It doesn't work for me. I like it when I can actually go around and talk to people and not have to spend as much time on a WhatsApp group or in a Telegram group trying to organize where they are.
Yeah.
But like, it'd be nice if we could get one big WordCamp UK maybe off the ground, or WordCamp London off the ground, and a couple of local WordCamps, that would be fantastic. And
WordCamp UK is an interesting proposition, isn't it? Now that WordCamp Canada's come along, it sort of feels like that's all up for grabs. So just to quickly recap, thanks for that, Tim. The WordPress London meetup is happening on the 28th of March, and the Leeds informal let's meet up in a bar or a coffee shop in this case and just have a little bit of a chat. Just see what's what. That's going to be happening on the following day, the 19th. Oh, that's tomorrow. Good grief. Yeah, I'd forgotten that. It's happening tomorrow in Leeds at 200 Degrees Coffee Shop and Barista School, it says there.
Yes, so very nice coffee.
And go along. All right. Okay. 15 going at the moment, it says. So let's see if we can.
Is that in Celsius or is that in Fahrenheit?
I was going to say that.
Angle.
That would hurt. That would really hurt. Belinda's given us a comment. She said, oh, so first of all, let's go to Elliot in response. In-person meetup, Cheltenham coming back. Oh, you heard it here. Probably second, but there you go. Cheltenham is coming back. So that's if you're living, you know, to the east. Oh, no, Cheltenham, sorry. On the 16th of April. Thank you for that, Elliot. That's good to know. And Belinda is joining us. Hello, Belinda. WordPress Northeast is running on person. I guess, did you mean to say in-person events?
She did.
Yeah, I suspect so. So that's been happening for a little time. That's good to know. And WordPress Northeast meetups are up and running. Okay, so paraphrase. So there's three things that I know of at the moment, with a fourth one starting in Cheltenham. Oh, it's coming back, Tim. Before you know it, there'll be 26 different ones. And then you'll have the indecision, not of meeting the 3,000 people, but which ones to go to.
I did all 26 in a year once.
Oh,
I gave a tour, all 26.
Ooh. I thought you were going to say in a month then.
No, in a month, over the period of a year.
Yeah.
Wow. It was a lot of work.
Yeah, dedication. Was that when you were with the hosting company, 34SP? Yeah.
We very kindly sponsored it. And yeah, we went all over the place and met lots of people.
Oh, awesome. Lovely. Right, we're pressed for time. So I'm just going to do a couple of things quickly because I want to go to the guest and co-host contributed articles. Firstly, this might be of interest if you're working with or working for a sort of like an enterprise level WordPress agency or something like that. There's a new consortium, which has launched, I think, very recently. It's called the Scale Consortium. It says, I'll just read it. At Scale, we believe in the immense potential of WordPress and as the ultimate choice for enterprise websites. And then if we go to the About page, it says the Scale Consortium is a group made up of representatives from some of the most prolific and successful enterprise WordPress agencies. It was created to address the evolving landscape of the enterprise layer of WordPress. So obviously, I guess between them, they either feel that there's some concern about whether this, I don't really know, to be honest, why this has been put together, but I can give you the list. Now, where did it go? Members. Here we go. So here's a list of the agencies involved so far. Big Byte, XWP, Human Made, Side, WebDev, Ally, The Code Co, Crowd Favor, Reactive, and RT Camp. So some pretty big hitters there. If that's adjacent to your mission in WordPress, you know, if you're an agency of that scale, scaleconsortium.org is where you want to be going. And I'll just quickly rip through the next ones if that's all right. I'll come back to this next week. We haven't got time, but this was, unless anybody wanted me desperately to talk about what Pascal wrote, I'll just bump it to next week. Okay. I'll bump it to next week. Sorry, Pascal. Anything on the security front you wanted to address quickly, Tim, that's happened to you since you were last on here? I've put the solid WP article on, but really it was an opportunity for you to just say if there was anything scary that happened, you know, freak us out basically, if you wish.
No, I don't freak people out.
Okay. Yeah. No, like impending doom that we need to worry about.
Updates for today. Just take it as a little bit of a hint that you should go and update your websites today.
Oh, today in particular,
This show, just go and do some updates for me.
Okay, all right. I did mine this morning, but I'm going to have to do them again now. I'm feeling backup first. Yeah,
back up first.
Okay, yeah, do that. and apparently, Edinburgh is online next week, in person to be announced. There we go. Wow, we got a load of people from the UK in today. This is good. The UK's happening. Okay, so we'll skip that. And, oh, this is personal. I run a Mastodon server. It's called wpbuilds.social. I am very, very, very close to shutting it down. And what I mean by that is I'm very close to deciding to shut it down. I'll give everybody about 60 days notice, but I'm going to send an email out. I might have done already through the magic of automation. And you may have received an email with me basically saying, look, you know, it's very likely it'll shut down. If you are using our server, I think there's several hundred of you, then just, it's a bit of a heads up. There are ways to migrate away and there'll be a link in the email saying that that's going to happen. But essentially it comes down to cost and time. And it was a great thing at the beginning, but the cost is sort of ramping up as the database. Every time you upload an image, you know, on Twitter, you just forget about it, right? I now have to worry about the cost of your image and your video. And every time you do a new one, the bill just gets bigger and bigger, essentially. So I'm thinking about it from that point of view. If you've got any intuition as a way that you can save this, that's great. But equally, read the email and you can move away if you need to. And we'll see how that goes. All righty. Yeah. Cammy, Habits Yay. WP. What's this?
Well, I decided to start a group of people that could support each other with good habits to have as a web designer, and especially as a business owner of a solopreneur or a small agency like myself. The whole reason I can relax and work and take time off and still have a good business is to have good habits. And so every Monday I send a habit for people to focus on that week, and hopefully it will help them by the end of the year. They'll be really rolling with some good habits and have a successful web design business.
So is it like you're dropping like one or two little curated habits a week, or is it?
It's just one habit for each week. So for this week, it's to ask for client reviews. And last week was if they don't have a newsletter for their clients, start that. Or it could be check your email 3 times a day only.
Nice. Yeah. So it looks like from the address, it's called HabitsWP.
HabitsWP.com.
HabitsWP.com, plural. And it looks like if you want to be a part of this, enter your email address here, click the confirm box, and Cammy is going to send you an email once a week. There's something very nice about that project, Cammy, because it feels like it's got manageable boundaries from your perspective. You know,
It's like tiny habits can make a really big difference in your business.
Nice.
And even if you're not a web designer, sign up for it, because she's dropped some life habits in there that are good things as well. So I enjoy reading it and following along. Absolutely. Thank you for creating this. It's a great initiative.
Oh, there you go. HabitsWP.com. I will drop the link into the show notes.
And watch her on TikTok while it still exists.
Okay. Yes.
do you know what? Over in the EU and Great Britain, there's no talk of it going away. Just so that you know, just in case you wanted to move to the other side of the pond and continue your rectangle addiction, you'll still be able to enjoy the benefits of TikTok. I've yet to watch TikTok ever, and I'm kind of proud of that. And I think I'm going to keep going with that. I have a friend who's never drunk Coca-Cola and is now on principle never going to drink Coca-Cola. And I think it's going to be the same with me.
Pepsi Haribo.
What's that?
Their Pepsi habit is just terrible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're mainlining it the whole time. Intravenous Pepsi, basically. But I've never watched a TikTok, so I'm pleased with that. Okay, so thank you for that. And the last couple. First of all, this is from Tim. Tell us, Tim, rather than me butchering it.
So I'm running a workshop on the 21st, which is on Thursday, at 1 p.m. GMT. It's a live workshop on cleaning a hack site. So I go through the process of finding hacks that we spend only a short amount of time on that, because that is course and then many years to get into that. But we then go through a step-by-step how to clean a hacked WordPress site. It's aimed at everybody in that there the process steps work whether you are a developer, someone who just admins a site. Basically, if you have access to a WordPress site that you manage, this is a course designed for you. It does go into some advanced stuff. So it does talk about things like WPCLI and some server-side things for going and looking for into things like cron jobs and things, looking and cleaning those out. It's a 90-minute workshop followed by a 30-minute Q&A. At the end of that, I will probably not the same day because I'm probably going to be a little bit tired after that. But a couple of days afterwards, I'll also be sending you the videos so you can just download them and keep them. And I'll also be sending out a checklist, which is basically step by step the process that I use for cleaning up a hacked site. I find that lots of people say, "Oh, we cleaned up hacked sites," or there are lots of services that will clean up a hacked site for you, and they don't do a very good job in that the hacks come back. And so we talk about why that is. And also when you should use the service versus maybe asking your hosting companies to.
Nice.
So plenty of stuff in there. And I hope people will join me. It's a paid workshop, but I think it's very reasonably priced. And there are spaces available. I think I'll be turning off the tickets on Wednesday. So if you need to go and get your boss to sign off on it or grab their credit card, I'd do it today or tomorrow. I'll probably be turning off the option to buy slots sort of midday on Wednesday.
Okay. So the URL for that, in case you can't see it, is timnash.co.uk/workshop. One more time, timnash.co.uk/workshop. Happy to say, Cammy, that you've got a new subscriber. Ryan's just signed up. Or maybe Ryan just signed up for Tim Nash's course. I don't know, depending on when that dropped. But I think Tim, was this some sort of intuition here? WP Umbrella, is that? No, he's... No, okay.
I will check it out.
Okay, check it out. Yeah. But I know that Tim comes on the show, and because of the high-level nature of everything we talk about the news and all of that, and it's very high-level, Tim never gets a chance to really demonstrate his credentials. But can I just say, Tim's really clever. And actually very, very, very knowledgeable at this kind of thing. I've seen him at a variety of WordCamps talking, and he's rather good. So go and sign up for his course, which is going to be on Thursday. And if not that, bookmark the address. I'm sure he'll be doing it again in the future, he said. Hopefully. Yeah, he's nodding. Okay, great. And the very last one is coming straight from Michelle. It got dropped in at the last moment. Tell me about this, Michelle. Celebrating the power of women.
Yeah, so WP Managed Ninja has done a featured article on 5 women in WordPress, and I was very honored to be among these women. And I wish that you would all go and read this to meet the other 4. Many people know me. I'm not sure that you know all the other 4 women that are in this article. And don't ask me to name them off the top of my head because it's morning here. But anyway, they are 4 amazing women. Read the article, learn about them. I just can't sing their praises enough.
I will be sure to pop that into the show notes, but it's over at the wpmanageninja.com. I'm guessing it's on their blog, but there's no / anything. Well, it's / empowering women in WordPress, all hyphenated. In some scary news that's just happened, a massive spider is now about there, and it's really big and freaking me out, and it's just
Is that a new member of your web building team?
That's just absolutely terrifying. It's about the size of my thumb. Like, its body is about the size of my thumbnail. Go away. Just go away. Ugh, that's horrible. I'm going to have to go. But luckily, we're over time anyway, so that's perfect. So thank you, the 4 of us, including me. Thank me. We've enjoyed my co-host, Michelle Frechette. Thank you for joining us again, even though you weren't feeling 100%. And thank you also to Cammy McNamara, and thank you to Tim Nash. It does look like he was talking about both. He signed up for both, Tim and Cammy's. Yay!
Signing up for Tim's.
Yeah. This show is effective. Come on this show and sell your stuff. Pitch your stuff. It's great. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. You've all been on this show before, so you know what's going to happen. The slightly humiliating hand wave of joy. Cammy's being a refuse. No, she's not. No, she's there. She's up for it.
I'm here.
There we go. That'll do. I think we got it. Appreciate anybody who made a comment. It really makes the show go forwards. We will be back next week with a different panel of guests. Thank you so much for joining us this week.
Well,
take it easy. Thanks, Cammy.
Good to see you all.
Thanks, Tim. Bye. Take it easy. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.